great.
But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
You don't even have to think about it.
Like, so let's rhyme it today. Rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just
yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just ran down.
Everybody,
amazing. I'm not gonna remember any of it.
That's good. That's the way to go.
All over the Rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you guys?
Who's house?
Wow.
Ram it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother and the other great host of this show, Nick. And Nick, what's up, brother? How you feeling today?
Special teams, special players. I don't know anything. I don't know. I know the guy's name is Sketch. So that's about all I know. But I've been seeing that everywhere. So I'm good.
Good, good. It's day one of the Rams' offseason program, T-minus 10 days from the draft. So we're trying to finalize some of our draft picks. Some people are just starting their mock drafts. We're trying to finalize who it is that we want to bring into the building and who we want in this Rams organization. And I think the way that we've talked about it previously, there's a lot of really talented players up at the top, a lot of top-heavy offensive talent. But as you kind of look through rounds 2, 3, 4, and 5, you can kind of build the defense by committee, right? You could build pass rushers. You could kind of build it from a different perspective right now that Aaron Donald is no longer in the building. So that's kind of the premise of the episode, and that's kind of how I wanted to kick it off, because Tony Pastors, in a recent article with Jordan Rodrigue, and Jordan can't say enough good things about her, but I think it was really interesting just the way that they were talking about the defensive line and how they want to construct it a little bit differently. Nick, we were talking about before we jumped on the podcast, there's like two teams or maybe three teams in the league right now that have built their pass rush from the inside out. So like Aaron Donald is obviously a key cog within the Rams' organization and how he rushes the passer and how they prioritized in terms of spending and his contract is kind of unprecedented. It's very similar to the Kansas City Chiefs and Chris Jones. But this Tony Pastors line, an article I thought was really interesting, because I think a majority of the arguments, Nick, I don't know about you, but I know me specifically, have stemmed from not wanting to replace Aaron Donald one-to-one at the very top of the draft. So this is just a super interesting article. Specifically, Tony Pastor is talking about how the Rams are just one of the few teams in recent history have invested in the defensive line inside out instead of outside in. And I think that this quote from Tony Pastor was so, so interesting. One of the things that we adjusted very quickly that was, hey, it's not interior versus exterior. Like this is a huge kind of learning that the Rams have kind of, you know, had to kind of develop and understand as Aaron Donald has left the building. Everybody has a pass rusher. You just have to figure out where they are, Tony Pastor said. And as you look back through history, you look at the teams who have won Super Bowls, they're all built differently. What they all have in common, though, is they all have a way to get after the quarterback. So with that in mind, I mean, I feel like you kind of reshuffle your brain a little bit and think, like, if you do go offense right when you kick off the draft, you could prioritize defense throughout the remainder and still build a really strong committee that is going to rush the passer. So,
yeah, like what Chris Jones had, like Aaron Donald kind of set the way where he's like, I am this great, I deserve to make this much money. And then Chris Jones had to hold out to get to the position where that was like, you know, the same thing for him. So that, I mean, I don't think that's going to be replicated because there aren't that many other people that are at that top echelon tier of those two players. So it makes sense to just, okay, like who do we have here? Who can we bring in? Like you said this before the episode started, and I thought it was really smart, where we have a lot of guys that we drafted last year that still have to develop. We don't need to use our first round pick, like the first pick in the first round of ours.
Yeah.
On an AD 1v1 comparison, I don't think that's the right way to do it.
It's not. And you want to always look best player available. But as a reminder from last year's draft, the Rams added two interior defensive linemen. So Kobe Turner in round 3, DeJuan Johnson in round 7, and three edge rushers, Byron Young in round 3, Nick Hampton in round 5, and Oshawn Mathis in round 6. So this year, we wanted to kind of scale it back to maybe four pass rushers, two interior players, two exterior players. And some of the things that I was looking at just in terms of how we want to build the committee, and Nick, you're so right, like with the Chris Jones situation and Aaron Donald, when Chris Jones held out and got that contract, what happened after the fact? Aaron Donald retired. So like, it's just a really interesting way in terms of how to structure your pass rush. But the committee that we were looking at, I'm just really interested in all of these players. And I think if you're looking at interior versus exterior and how to build it holistically, guys like Michael Hall, Braylon Trice, Tavondre Sweat, and Brennan Jackson are all guys that kind of fit the mold. And instead of a Michael Hall, you know, you could always go after a Chris Jenkins from Michigan, or you can go after a Braden Fisk, who's actually getting top 30 visits right now because of his incredible Senior Bowl and also the combine. But like, there's just a lot of different ways that you can construct it, right? Because you look at guys like Dallas Turner from Alabama and Jared Verse from FSU. Like, those guys are essentially locks per the beast. Dane Buehler's the beast to go in the first round. And then other guys like Leatu Latu from UCLA and Chop Robinson from Penn State, those guys are also getting top 30 visits. So they're not guaranteed to go in the first round, but if they do, it would be likely in the 25 to 30 range. And Marshawn Nealon's another guy from Western Michigan who also kind of falls in that category and is a guy we really like. But we've talked about kind of the committee and how we would potentially build it. Like, these are four guys to me that I think would be massive contributors immediately. I mean, you could kind of go crazy with how you want to construct it too. This is just kind of a 1.0 view, but a 2.0 view. I talked about Dallas Turner. If you really want to be aggressive, go up and trade for a Dallas Turner or sit and pick for a Jared Verse or even a Byron Murphy. And I think you could probably get away with trading back for a Byron Murphy or a Johnny Newton if those are guys that you highly covet. But the point is, there's a lot of different ways that you can craft the committee. And the reason why we're talking about this is it's an interview from Tony Pastors. Like, if Tony Pastors didn't allude to this specifically, we wouldn't be talking about a committee of pass rushers. We'd be going after the top guy. And also, if Kevin Demoff didn't slide into our DMs and talk about trading up for Romo Odunze, we probably wouldn't be talking about trading up for a receiver. But it is definitely a position of need. And I just think that there's ways that you can construct this without going crazy and killing yourself over the fact that you don't get the top guy with the 19th pick overall in terms of a defender.
It's not going to be the end of the world. And it doesn't mean they're ignoring the elephant in the room, which right. is, you know, a quite literal Aaron Donald sized elephant. he will be impossible to replace. I mean, the best thing you can do, honestly, is build an Aaron Donald statue in SoFi to kind of keep him in there, but still, and potentially bring him in on a playoff run. I think it's smart that from the perspective that we had in the beginning, like through the offseason, where we're like, okay, we want to like target the defense. We want to go after the defense. And then when we made it, you know, a draft simulator where we did defense, defense, defense. Yeah. And then post Kevin Demoff reaching out to us, we were kind of like, all right. And then this article comes out and it really kind of gives you the perspective of, we like do not get upset if they don't go out there and bring in somebody immediately to fill that Aaron Donald size hole. It's almost similar to Todd Gurley. It's like, hey, exactly. We're not going to have we're not going to have Todd Gurley again. Exactly. But we could have like a Todd Gurley committee, which is where the league kind of went to after Todd Gurley. It's like outside of Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey,
yeah,
they're like those star like running back players almost doesn't exist. So, I mean, I'm not saying that the Aaron Donalds of the world like don't exist. I mean, he is one of one, but still, it's very, very difficult to bring in somebody that's going to try to be exactly what he was. It's probably impossible.
Yeah, no, I like to prioritize too. You always prioritize best player available. And especially if you're just going to sit there and pick at 19, like if you do end up going offense first, you're not going to be able to get Romo Odunze all the way at number 19. You could trade up. You could go after a Marvin Harrison Jr. You can go after a Romo Odunze. But like also in terms of the offense, if you sit and pick at number 19, Tally Fuaga might be sitting there. You know, that's an eventual Rob Havenstein replacement who's the longest tenured Ram. Or he could also come in and steal Alaric Jackson's job. He's that talented. I think he's one of the best offensive linemen in the draft. There's a J.C. Latham. There's the kid from Penn State. Obviously, Joe Alt. You could talk about trading up for him. But like if they do some of that and they want to focus on offense in the first round – that's fine, because you could always kind of look throughout the rest of the draft and try and build this committee as strong as possible. Even if you don't go Byron Murphy, you could always look at guys like Michael Hall Jr. This is a guy that we spent a lot of time studying, and being 6'3", 290, and the ability to take some stress and work off of Kobe Turner's plate as a three tech, that's going to demand serious attention immediately. And Kobe Turner could then rotate with a guy like Bobby Brown in the middle in terms of nose tackle. So there's a lot of different ways that you can kind of shift it around. But like my original thought was, if you go Michael Hall, you go Michael Hall, what, in round two? You can go Braylon Trice, maybe round three, led the nation in pressures in 2023. So, I mean, that's a guy that I would highly prioritize. Tre'Davious Sweat, like this is so interesting, because the DUI that he just had is going to push him all the way down to the fourth round, but he's 50, 55 pounds heavier than the next nose tackle in the draft. And he's 40 pounds heavier than Bobby Brown the third. So you would assume that a guy like that can come in and contribute immediately. And then a Brennan Jackson, this is a kid that the Rams met with at the Shrine Bowl. We've mocked him multiple times, and I feel like he's a scheme fit for multiple reasons. And one of those guys that every single time I've seen a clip of him, he's hyping up the locker room. He's hyping up the weight room. Like, you need more of those Puka Nacua, Steve Avila type players to come into the building. And, you know, you get them on these cost control deals and they're contributors for 4 years plus. It's the money. Like, that's where you want to be. And that's how you want to kind of be able to build the team from the inside out. Cause we're still technically in a retooling year. And then, you know, as this year progresses, hopefully that 2025 is the year that they can kind of go all in again. But it depends on how the chips fall this year and how strong the draft class is this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they kind of struck gold a little bit last year with Puka and Kobe. So I think halfway through the year, they thought that they're done retooling of last year. Like, you know, every game was a playoff game towards the end. And I feel like they thought that they could be back all in. So, I mean, I don't know. I think if they get a sniff of that early on and they start like 3-1, I would imagine that they could be like, some of the money that they have saved during the season could be used to bring somebody in immediately. Also, if you're following at home and you're playing the Rams Brothers drinking game, Dean did just say Rob Hayden signed longest tenure Ram. So that is a shot.
It's a given. I mean, but that's like, you want to have like that kind of talent in the building, like to be able to replace guys that have been longest tenured players. And, you know, that's kind of the direction that I would want to see them go. So, yeah, I totally agree with everything you're saying.
They are going like I just said, with Puka and Kobe, like the fact that they have these younger guys that are kind of like Puka, like if you look at the social media presence, like he's now one of the pillars. It's incredibly sad that Aaron Donald is not one of these pillar players anymore because he's gone. But I mean, it's within the year, like we got another one in Puka Nacua, which is remarkable. And like how they're showing him and how they're putting him out all over, you know, like the media of the Rams, they want him to be this star player.
And it's so fascinating the way that Puka has developed too, and just the way that McVay receivers develop, right? Because Puka Nacua has trained all offseason with Cooper Kupp, to the fact that Cooper Kupp made him puke consistently for a week, and Puka Nacua was fertilizing all of Cooper Kupp's mulch and bushes and everything out front in his lawn, because that's how vicious and talented and what it kind of takes. Puka said it was happening immediately as the Super Bowl ended this season. Like, they went right to work. And I think that, you know, it's kind of like, I don't want to say the Patriot way and the Tom Brady way, but I just watched that Dynasty documentary with Tom Brady, and those guys all went to work immediately as the Super Bowl ended. Like, and that's kind of just the process and the mindset that I feel like Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and some of these other core guys have. And you want to kind of look and see if you could build a pass rush by committee. All four of those guys have that same mentality and all have a strong reason to contribute as consistently as those guys. So,
yeah, I remember we were actually doing an episode live when the Todd Gurley news dropped.
Yeah.
We were like, it was 2020 during the pandemic. I think we were on the phone I was on the phone. Like, I called in and our dad was on the episode, and it happened. And it players like that are not, like, it's just, you're not going to be able to replace them. So you like thinking about like replacing them like 1v1, it's just not going to happen. You have to more so kind of like to develop where the league is going and think of your process more as, okay, what can we do to move forward as opposed to like bringing in somebody that's exactly the same?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause that's, you have to be able to kind of change your methodology a little bit too. Like, and the way that I'm like looking at the offense right now, like the reason why we're kind of pounding the table for a Romo Dunze or even a Marvin Harrison Jr. is via trade up. Like it's one of the, go get one of the best receivers in the class. Like continue to evolve your offense, stay one step ahead of the league, get one of the best receivers in the class on a cost controlled contract for 4 years. And then you don't really have to worry about the offense throughout the remainder of the draft. Like the one thing that you could do is you could look and try to find a really talented offensive lineman in later rounds. Like you could look, those could be your two offensive players. You can get a receiver and an offensive lineman and really kind of be set because of how much talent you've already added to the offense. You could look at a Kingsley Suamataya from BYU, his projected second round pick. Kieran Emegadije, who we've talked about, I remember him from Yale, a projected third round pick. Blake Fisher from Michigan, who is a Rams right there pro day, projected somewhere in rounds 2 to 3. And then Christian Jones is another guy projected in round 4. We talked about Walter Rouse. We talked about Frank Crum from Wyoming. Like these are all guys that I feel like are highly talented players. Here's Kieran Emegadije. We talked about him in length. That I, you know, I feel like you could just bring in maybe one or two of them. And that's a way to consistently stay ahead of the curve, to consistently evolve your offense, is bring in an eventual left tackle replacement and bring in an X receiver that you get cost controlled for 4 years. And your offense is set. You've developed the inside of the offensive line so well. Steve Avila is in the process of moving to center. You brought in Jonah Jackson. You re-signed Kevin Dotson. You brought in Colby Parkinson, who's going to be an extremely valuable asset in terms of blocking in the run game. Like the offense is developed. They've invested heavily in it. You're maybe one or two pieces away from it being the best unit in the league. So like go out and get that early and then fill the entire defense with the committee of players that can take you back over the top.
Yeah. And, I mean, and then every remaining pick after that could be catered around defense. Two interior defenders, two edge rushers, off the ball linebacker, someone to play alongside Earth Jones. I mean, like, yeah, I hopefully then special teams after that, because for the love of God, we're 32nd at special teams. But yeah, I agree. I think bringing in like one or two more like really fun offensive pieces could bring us over the top, and then just trust the defensive process from there, and then bring in younger guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's go back to the 2023 draft class again, because like you look at it, it's such a fun class. Like, I mean, Steve Avila, so I'm trying to think back of all the top picks in the Rams for the Rams of the last 5 years. Steve Avila, Tutu Atwell, Taylor Rapp are on that list.
Tavon Austin?
No. You go all the way back, yeah, Tavon's on there. But there are a few others that are scattered in there. Steve Avila's at the top of the list. Like, you compare it to Taylor Rapp and a Tutu Atwell to a Steve Avila, a guy that started every single game at left guard and then is going to move over to arguably the most valuable position on the offensive line at center. Kid is a stud. Byron Young was bagging groceries. He followed the Kurt Warner way. The third round pick went 77th overall. And what did he have, 9 sacks this year? Him and Kobe Turner both had 9.5 sacks and a shit ton of pressures. Like that's, I just think that like if you can replicate this a little bit, like edge rusher, interior defender, edge rusher in Nick Hampton, and then you went Oshawn Mathis, edge rusher, and then you went DeJuan Johnson, interior defender. And then in the middle of all of that, you brought in the punter of the future. You brought in a running back 4. You obviously brought in Puka Nacua and Davis Allen, who I don't even think Davis Allen we talk about enough for how well he came on at the end of the season. So like you're hopeful that this team and that draft class, who was bussed in on a school bus this past one full calendar year this time last year, is going to get better. And
producer, can you pull up that graphic again for us, please?
Sure. No, I know what you're going to say. Don't say it.
No. I have to. Look how early we drafted Stenson Bennett and how little he contributed to our team. And the odds for him to go undrafted were like relatively high. So I don't know. I mean, Rams brothers drinking game. I'm mad that we drafted Stenson Bennett. Take a drink. But still, it's remarkable. This is such a great image that is just totally squandered by having him as our fourth pick last year.
But you brought in Jimmy Garoppolo. You brought in a guy who understands Kyle Shanahan's playbook inside and out and is going to be able to add some value for a backup quarterback, even to Matthew Stafford a little bit. That to me is, and I mean, you kind of erase the pain, especially if Stetson Bennett can be quarterback three this year and then quarterback two when Jimmy Garoppolo leaves. I'm kind of happy that we haven't had to evaluate quarterbacks. I mean, the Rams might go Michael Penix. You know, Mel Kiper's talking about Michael Penix to the Rams, and the Rams just brought in a left-handed quarterback coach who played for the St. Louis Rams. So, like, there's a connection there. Bo Nix has been mocked to the Rams consistently. The one guy that we liked, we were talking about weeks prior, was Jordan Travis, who's finally back on the field. He's actually rehabbing today on the field. Looks great. But, like, I'm just happy over the fact, like, we're not talking about it, but now we are. That it's not a pressing need. You could go offense early, defense late, defense early, a little bit of offense, and then all defense, and you could really build a winner again pretty quickly.
Yeah, 100%. It's very nice that our mocks are not focusing on the quarterback at all, because I was just at a bachelor party this weekend and I had to argue that Matthew Stafford could still win a Super Bowl. And then I got down to people being like, and I was like, all right, so name me the quarterbacks that are better than Matthew Stafford. And it immediately plummeted their point, because he's a quarterback that absolutely can win you a Super Bowl. He has. He probably will again.
Name one quarterback in the NFC that's better.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Someone was like, Caleb Williams. And I was like, give me a break.
All right. So I wanted to just kind of recap real quick, because this is not the way that I feel like it's going to be crafted. But we've talked about guys like Adisa Isaac. We've talked about Darius Robinson. Adisa Isaac is going to be a toss-up between rounds two and three, and Darius Robinson is going to be projected to go in the second round. But I talked about how much I love Brennan Jackson, and I love Braylon Trice, the nation leader in pressures. And Muhammad Kamara is another one from Colorado State. Like, this is, I think this committee can be really, really useful. And I truly, truly feel, because, like, when these guys say Tony Pastor speaks one time a year, like, to get him in an article and to have him, you know, download his thoughts onto the best Rams beat reporter, it's extraordinarily telling. And I just think that the way that they build the committee, it could be Dallas Turner, Chris Jenkins, and Braden Fisk, or it could be Michael Hall, or, you know, and Braylon Trice and Trevondre Sweat and Brennan Jackson. Like, you could just do it in such a multitude of ways that can lead you to success. And I'm excited over the fact that I think it's going to shake out in a way that is going to, a lot of Rams fans are just going to be happy the same way that they were last year. Like, everybody was so impressed with the draft class last year. So you replicate that again. Immediate. And
I remember it being immediate too, you know, like that first Seattle game was like, it like opened like everyone's eyes. Like, oh my God, this like Puka Nacua kid pops.
He's just so good. He's so good. Speaking of Puka Nacua, I realized over the weekend that both of Puka's brothers play for the Michigan Panthers, as well as our favorite Jake Bates, kicker from Michigan. And you know what? Jake Bates, I think he hit another 55-yarder that would have been good from 70 over the weekend. Just kid just hits bombs. Yeah. He's signing autographs. He's the next Greg the Leg. But Puka's brothers, in terms of special team contributors, I think it was Kai Nacua who had the interception over the weekend, the guy on the left. He formerly played for the 49ers. He's an undrafted player. And his other brother is also playing for the Michigan Panthers. So bring in all the Nacuas. We need all the special teams help we can get. And you bring in a Jake Bates, you bring in a lot more special teams talent. You bring in somebody who could return kicks, return punts. And I'll tell you what, if all three units are working together, this is going to be a top 10 football team. And the 9 wins, 9.5 over under total that is out there right now in the ether, they're going to smash that if they nail the next month.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, like, 9.5 tells you that, like, if things go well, they're a playoff team next year, you know, like, It's almost like a little high. Like, you don't just throw out 9.5s. Like, not high, like, I don't think that they can beat it. Yeah. But it's like, you want to put it high enough where someone can be like, oh, the Rams outperformed last year. They lost Aaron Donald. Realistically, they're going to have a, you know, like, fall back a little bit. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, you bring in, like, a legit kicker, and they're already 2 wins better than they were last year. You bring in a legit backup, and they're 3 wins better. And, I mean, we haven't solved the kicker yet, but – God willing, Jake Bates is a Los Angeles Ram next year.
That's what's so funny about it. It's like 9.5 wins. What was their over under last year? 6.5?
I think it might have been like 5.5.
Yeah, 5.5, 6. And they won 10 games. They won the final game against the San Francisco 49ers with Carson Wentz. Like, that, and that's like finally took them 12 weeks to bring in a backup quarterback after you have to deal with Brett Rippon against the Green Bay Packers and Brett Maher and Liam Haralahu or whatever the hell his name was. But you just had such a revolving door, both at kicker and just special teams in general.
The week I was most insufferable about Stenson Bennett was the Green Bay week, because I was like, we wasted a draft pick on somebody that's not even in here right now, who's supposed to be able to come in.
We wasted the good surprise on you. Can't do that. You can't really waste a draft pick, but you know what? Like, look at the way that the draft fell last year. You can miss. You have 11 draft picks again this year. Like, you could miss one of the 11. You can miss two of the 11. But if you bring in 4-5 contributors on defense, specifically guys in the front seven, and then one dynamic receiver and potentially an offensive line replacement for the future, I'm good with 7 picks. They can make 8 picks as long as they feel like, you know, they want to trade around. They want to get up into the fourth round. They want to get up higher in the first. They can really do whatever they need to do. And I feel like they're going to do the right thing, because they're such a really well-run organization. We were getting some flack over the weekend for saying that people used to say that the Rams are a poverty franchise. And my core comment was, well, they're one of the winningest in the last 10 years. And they're the third most profitable organization in all of sports. It's like the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Yankees, and the Los Angeles Rams. So, like, not a poverty franchise, extraordinarily well run, and do not count them out for another Super Bowl run within the next couple of years.
100%. Couldn't agree more. It is almost something that I wear with a patch of honor, though. Like, it, like, I'm like, hey, you can't call us a poverty franchise, but during the end of that St. Louis Rams era, for a long period of time, we did absolutely feel like a poverty franchise.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's where it comes from.
Yeah. But
that's
like,
that's exactly where it comes from.
The move to LA, I think, completely shifted the Lance and bringing in Sean McVay completely shifted who the Rams are in the public eye. And now they're like, now it's not even a fight for like, oh, whose town is it? You know, like, it's Rams, Lakers, Dodgers. And it's like,
Chargers fans were in our messages talking about how we're too high on the Rams. And it's just craziness. 49ers fans, Chargers fans. I'll tell you what, we're just going to go at you, because it's way too much fun. If you guys are enjoying the podcast, make sure that you guys like and subscribe. It means a ton. I meant to do it in the beginning of the episode, but I was like, what's up, brother? And that totally steered me in the wrong direction.
That's the third drink people have to take. We didn't say like and subscribe in the first couple seconds. So you're following along at home.
If you made it to the end, make sure that you guys are. Click. Like and subscribe. We love you guys.
Chris is on short lease next week.
Yeah. You're going to have to fire that idiot. Fire him.
Click.
Click. We love you guys. Go Rams. Draft is in 10 days. The offseason programs have begun. Matthew Stafford's locked in. His own quarterback documentary premieres this Thursday night at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Let's tune in. We're going to have a lot of fun watching that, too. It's a good little way to get us through this week, into next week, and into the draft. So I'm sure we'll talk to you guys before then, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Maybe it's because that there was like a momentum like killing strike last year that like stopped me from working a lot, but like this year feels like it's like flying by. And it's like the draft is like next week already. It sounds crazy, but
it does. I just, my memory from the draft last year, because they didn't have a first round pick. And what was their, I'm trying to think of, what was their first pick last year? It was obviously Steve Avila. So after Avila, and then into day two and day three, like it was long. Like they had a pick at the very end of the DeJuan Johnson was Mr. Irrelevant. So we're going to keep you guys updated with everything Twitter related. It's going to be a lot of fun. It always is. So we will talk to you guys soon. Appreciate you guys, and go Rams.
Go Rams.